This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Very good news for Bob Fesco.
Ooh, I'm excited about good news.
I think this show is growing. It is still very young, but I think we're getting a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can go subscribe to the YouTube page. You can check us out live on Twitter. Put us on your TV while you get your coffee and you iron your pants. But for those of you that haven't listened the last 3 weeks or so, we've been running a story that's been bothering both of us. The boogers are gone.
No way!
They're gone.
I didn't even look. Are you kidding me?
You can go look right now.
The boogers are gone?
Crazy. Mac went to the bathroom, yeah. Too, and I said they're gone.
It's insane.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Somebody listened.
Wow. Do you think management took care of that?
Somebody heard. Wow. And somebody went to the men's bathroom. My theory is it's the boss.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, talk sports.
Right.
But for those of you that haven't listened or don't understand where the story is coming from, wow. For the last 3 weeks, we've been seeking for someone to have a DNA test. I want a DNA test. I want to know who the father is of the boogers. I was going to go full Maury Povich.
Do you think they fell off the wall, or do you think somebody cleaned them off the wall?
They've been scraped.
They've been scraped. Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm going to have to go in there and look. And I used the urinal. I didn't even pay attention. I did see somebody put soap in there finally, uh-huh. And put a note on the soap. Please leave in the bathroom, like somebody's stealing the soap. I don't know. But wow, that's incredible. I'll have to go in there during the break. I'm excited about that. That's wonderful. Somebody cleaned the bathroom for the first time since April. Way to go.
Somebody has listened to the show and taken our words, and we no longer have a concern. For them nose treasures, man.
Oh, man.
Them nose trophies are gone.
I thought they would outlast the cockroach that was dead for a couple of months, but that got disappeared fast, too.
Now the longest active living thing, if it is still alive, is that damn Caesar salad in the fridge.
Yeah.
And I did go check it. It's still there. So our annual Friday report will be on Instagram and Facebook, so check that out. That sucker's just withering away.
Like, what does that smell like? Ugh. So would you eat it if you were starving?
No, not a chance.
I'll
starve.
Yeah.
I will steal food from the company kitchen. Yeah. Like, I'll eat a damn egg salad sandwich that's vacuum sealed. That thing is brown, dude.
Oh, God.
It's so terrible. Ugh. From the 816, had to be Spectre. Didn't want Dusty to test them and find out. Told you.
Yeah, we don't know who it was. Never find out now.
Did Spectre hire a new janitorial company?
That's a major mystery.
It's above his pay grade.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah, for those of you that had missed that story, Fesco and I have been on the hunt for somebody to come in here with some DNA analysis, some CSI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then now today,
oh, man.
They're gone.
We'll never know.
Like the OJ of boogers in there.
Yeah.
They left that damn knife, but now the booger doesn't fit. You must have quit. Let's get into some concerns with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's okay, right?
They're 3-0. Yeah, right.
But you're all doing the same thing. Don't come at us with the same, you know, negative energy. We're having the conversation. We want to have like a bar stool conversation. Like at the bar, you know, sitting around your buddies going, yeah, the 3-0, that's great. Rashee Rice looks fantastic. Trent McDuffie is him. Xavier Worthy's got that explosives that we were talking about. But there's something that's probably bothering a lot of you.
Yeah.
So we'll put our concerns together, and we can, Bob, you can take the floor here with this if you want to start. But, like, you can have concerns with a 3-0 team.
Absolutely. It ain't perfect. No, I mean, I'm sure Matt Nagy, Andy Reid, and Steve Spagnuolo are all sitting around, Dave Tobe probably as well, sitting around going, how do we get better? Because that's what teams do. They never sit around and go, God, we were great, and put their feet up and smoke a cigar and enjoy the fruits of their labors. They were back in there. I mean, you come back at Sunday night, you land about, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Most of the guys went right to work. They didn't go home. They went right to work to get better. They won a game. Congratulations. That was yesterday. It's time to get better. If we do it like this all year long, will we continue to win games? And the answer probably is no. You've got to get better. So I think the number one thing for me, and I think this has been kind of an issue, you know, for the last couple of years, is that red zone scoring, Dusty. I saw a stat yesterday. They scored a touchdown on just 44% of the time inside the 20. That's not good enough, right? You'd like to be well over 50%. You'd like to be punching it into the end zone. Touchdowns win games. Field goals do not. And we're not talking about a team, in my opinion, that's won close games if they convert better than 44% inside the red zone. Like another touchdown instead of a field goal against Baltimore, another touchdown instead of a field goal against Cincinnati, another touchdown instead of a field goal against Atlanta. Just take one field goal and turn it into a touchdown, and we're talking about three games to start the season that are technically blowouts in the NFL. Right. And so that's the difference between everybody saying, oh my God, this is an explosive offense, versus, oh my God, we got some problems on offense, we can only kick field goals. It's from the 20 in. And that's where you'd like to see Devin Wiley step up. You'd like to see Noah Gray step up. You'd like to see Travis Kelce step up in those type of situations. And now with Kareem Hunt being on the active roster, hey, maybe he's a guy that can get through the line of scrimmage inside the 20 and put you into the end zone. So there's some opportunity there. They've got to find a way to get better from the red zone in. And it's interesting because the 20-yard line in used to be an easy score in the NFL. It's hard now with these explosive offenses because the field's only 30 yards. It shrinks, right? You don't have the ability to run deep and do all that kind of stuff. So they've got to find a way to score inside the 20, convert at least one field goal into a touchdown. And we're talking about a team that's blowing everybody out.
Dr. Mackenstein?
Yeah, my main worry would be that this team kind of feels, this offense at least, kind of feels the same as it did last year. It's just now they have Rashee Rice ready and in his second year, where before they didn't. There's less drops. There's less crazy, stupid turnovers, sure, but there's still the same multitude of missed opportunities that leaves games up for grabs, and then it comes out of control at the end, and we leave it up to the refs. My worry is that we're going to have to unveil the cover of the sports car that is Travis Kelce way earlier. Got to get him out of the garage, got to get him revved up, and I don't know if he's ready for a 17, what we hope to be a 20-game, 21-game season. Before it was like, well, Rashee Rice, he's getting ready to go, and of course, we saw before our eyes by week 8, week 10, he was a number one, a bona fide up-and-coming star. I don't know if we're going to see that same quick progression with Xavier Worthy. You got Travis another year older. I don't know if he's as ready. I just am a little worried about, okay, Rashee Rice, second year, here we go. I need you for 20 straight games, 1,500 yards, 100 receptions. I need you to be an all-pro level receiver because we don't got anything else.
What if Travis just turns into a red zone machine for this team and he just dominates from the 20-yard line? Everybody good with that, right?
And your concern is no longer a concern.
Then I don't have a concern anymore, yeah.
Use Noah Gray more in the middle of the field.
Yeah. I don't understand why they – but maybe that does. It goes back to the coverages. Maybe teams are just scheming to take the tight ends out because it's not like Noah Gray's lighting the world on fire.
No.
It's not like Devin Wiley's lighting the world on fire. Noah Wiley or whatever his first name is, Bill Wiley,
Jared
Steve Wiley,
Jared
Wiley, right? Like, it's not like he's lighting the world on fire. It's not like Travis Kelce's lighting the world on fire. Maybe teams are just scheming to take the tight ends out and they're saying, okay, beat us with these wide receivers. Well, now that you're beating us with the wide receivers, maybe there needs to be a different approach to the way you're focusing on the Chiefs. And if that case does happen, then boom, open it up and Travis Kelce gets involved.
My concern is that Patrick Mahomes' headband is too tight, and that's why he can't focus on... I'm kidding. Yeah, that'd be like a Todd McShay
take. That's a Todd McShay take right there.
No, yeah. I kind of piggyback off both of yours to wrap this segment up before we go to the other side. And it's just third down conversion rate. They're 26th in the NFL. They're converting 35.4% of the time on third down. That gets better with the evolution of this offense of Travis Kelce. That gets better with the more crispiness that can become of Patrick Mahomes. And I think that when you put all that together, your third down rate can go better. Your red zone offense can get better. And the offense and the explosions of Xavier Worthy could get better. But right now, it's 26 in the NFL on third down. There's a lot of field goals getting kicked, a lot of punts happening, which is fine. But, you know, you clean that up, you keep the ball longer, you keep the defense rested, and the rest is history. But the best thing about this entire conversation is these are minute concerns.
Yes, that's exactly right. Very minute.
Keep it there for you. Coming up on the other side, we get into Bob's Bottom Feeders, and we get into Max Pack on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Don't forget, you can go to the YouTube page and type in 96.5. Subscribe to the show. Watch us every morning. Listen to us every morning. However you intake your Fesco and Dusty programming.
Yeah, you can do it on X, formerly Twitter, Twitch, formerly Twitch, and YouTube, formerly YouTube, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Anywhere else? Twitch, X, YouTube, and Instagram? Are we on that
Facebook?
As well? Facebook? Okay.
I don't know. I think my camera's broken, so if I look like I'm stuck in
time.
Yeah,
somebody had said that you're frozen or something like that. Yeah, right. You are.
I can fix that. Give me a second.
You can? Mm. Oh, I'm sure the whole operation's going to go to pot now.
Yeah.
I mean, you touch the camera, you don't know what's going to happen in this place, right?
And just, you know.
Hey, yeah, you are frozen. Look at you right there.
It's not a good look for me.
No, it really isn't. It's like you're like you're jumping away from something. Yep. Like, oh my God, I just smelled that Caesar salad in the kitchen. Mm. I got to back away.
Looks like the gummy is in full effect.
It does look like that too. Yeah.
Whoa.
Or you just took a whiff of Binkley's chew in the can.
Mm. College football.
Jay Binkley.
That's right. Sun's coming up on a Wednesday morning. We are halfway through the week. We should. All right. Looks like we're back in motion.
All right. There you go. You got it fixed, Mac?
Oh, yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Figuring this out.
Finally figuring it out, and you're going to take 2 days off, and it's going to go all that.
Yeah.
And you're going to forget everything you learned come Monday morning when we're talking
about
the Royals and the playoffs and the Chiefs going 4-0.
That'll be fun.
Well, before you leave, we need to get into your Max Pack this week.
That's right.
It's time for Max Pack.
Yeah. Could have left today. I said, you know what? I need to do Max Pack before
That's
I get
right.
out of here.
All right. See you later after this segment.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys
I'm
are on your own.
I'm done here.
Okay. So we're getting into the flow of this, right? So, but just to remind everyone, this is not just weekly power rankings based on week to week. Okay. This is who can hoist a Lombardi trophy at the end of the day.
Okay.
So we're being realistic here. Okay. Number one, Chiefs. Yeah, I know it hasn't been pretty. Okay,
who cares?
It's undefeated. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's week three.
Talk hard to win in the NFL.
Exactly, and it's September. Okay, it's not going to look pretty. I don't really care. It's 3-0. And in fact, you guys mentioned it earlier. Everyone should be scared. This offense has largely played poorly, and I think there's lots of room to improve both on both sides of the ball.
I love the fact too that everybody is bowing at the feet of Buffalo today and making them the number one team in the NFL. It's going to kind of give the Chiefs a little juice and a little momentum. You beat Jacksonville. Love it.
See them this weekend.
You beat Jacksonville.
Yeah,
and the Dolphins
at home.
I'm just saying.
But
the Chiefs beat
it.
The Chiefs beat the Falcons, the Ravens, and the Bengals. Two of Buffalo's wins have come over the Dolphins, who have like Sage Rosenfels now as their quarterback, and Jacksonville, who basically quit mid-game.
Mm.
Well, and I mean, I saw on FanDuel Sportsbook on Twitter, formerly known as X, that, you know, is Josh Allen the first best quarterback in the league? Is he QB1? So,
I
mean, motivation's going to,
yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. But I do have the Bills at number two. Josh Allen is the second best quarterback, and he has been amazing. He's the MVP favorite, as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
He's 9 touchdowns, 0 picks. They're top 10 against the pass and the run regarding yards. I think they have the second best QB in the league, as I said. He's looked like the sharpest quarterback this season. Give me the Buffalo Bills. They deserve to be there, and they've impressed so far.
Yeah.
So give them some credit.
Yeah.
The Packers at number three. Last week they were 5, but I have to put them here 2 weeks in a row.
Ahead of your Darnold Vikings?
I know.
Wow.
I know. I gotta put.
How bad does it hurt you to see Malik Willis doing well when Jordan Love is your guy?
Like
that's the guy you were like in a snuggie with at the beginning of the year.
It was my MVP pick. It was wrong because he's not going to win MVP.
No,
because
he's got
they're
no
winning
chance,
without him,
yeah.
Right? Matt LaFleur is the MVP of that Packers team. He is now coming into my top 5, top 6 coach discussion. Seriously, an elite offensive mind. What he's doing with Malik Willis is extremely impressive. They've got the Vikings and the Rams next. They might have Love back for the Vikings game. But yeah, Packers, Vikings. Hopefully Jordan Love is back. I think
baby. What time is that game taking place?
God, I think it's a noon
is
game.
Is it a nooner?
It's a noon, which is, that should be 3:25. Number
they should
four.
Flex that game.
They should. Number four, Baltimore Ravens. They struggle to close at the end of games, which is really important. Honestly, the Ravens, I'll probably have them in the top 5 as long as they keep winning for the rest of the season.
They're 1-2.
Yeah, I know. But they're still really good to me. And okay. I had them out of it last week. They won last They won last week. They're back in this week after winning against Dallas. It's Lamar. It's Harbaugh. They won in the regular season. But I really don't care about the Ravens until we get to January. Talk to me in the playoffs. You really need to show up, Lamar. You got to impress me. But for now, they'll be in the max pack. And then you mentioned him earlier, Sammy Big D. Got to get him in here. Mm. I know we're talking about hoisting Lombardi trophies, but my God, Kevin O'Connell, talk about top five, top six coach. This guy is truly elevating himself into that sort of class. Brian Flores has been bringing the blitz, and he's been bringing it at the right time. Sometimes he would be a little too careless in years past with, okay, he's blitzing over 50% of the snaps. This guy needs to chill. It seems like now he's got it dialed in. That defense is playing well. And it looks like they're just all behind Sam Darnold. Like, they lose Kirk Cousins. He's wearing the chains. He's partying up in the plains. Yeah. Sam Darnold has taken that seat, and they love him. He's the MVP favorite. At least he should be by the numbers. I know it's crazy to say Sam Darnold could hoist the Lombardi trophy, but in that NFC with that team, I'm going to go Minnesota at five.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. KOC is doing good things up there in Minnesota. And I think it's interesting about Sam Darnold, because I was listening to our sister station, WFAN New York, yesterday, and they were talking about, well, maybe the Jets gave up too soon on him. You know, the problem with Sam Darnold, I think, is what we're starting to see is that, as Bill Belichick said, everybody likes Sam Darnold but the Jets, which was a great comment by Belichick, just a total swipe at the Jets, right? It was fantastic. But you get these quarterbacks into this league, and if you don't surround them with good coaches, you're really giving them a severe disadvantage to have success. Now, some of it is done by yourself. I still maintain Patrick Mahomes is not the quarterback he is if he goes to the Giants and he has 100%. Somebody else as his head coach. It's the perfect pairing, and that's why the quarterback-coach pairing in the NFL is the most important pairing in all of sports.
Has to be a good situational fit.
Yeah.
So we're running through them again. Top five: Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Vikings, Ravens.
Ravens, Vikings. Yeah.
Ravens, Vikings.
Ravens, Vikings.
Last week it was Chiefs, Niners, Texans, Bills, Packers. So two out, two more in.
I almost put the Niners in Bob's bottom feeders this week. I mean, you got your star player in Germany trying to figure out his Achilles. The quarterback's now hurt. I mean, that brim is getting a little bendy over there on Mike Shanahan's head. So for me, the bottom feeders this week, as we do, Bob's bottom feeders, no rhyme or reason to it. These are the teams I think are the five worst this week in the NFL. I think number 32, we all agree, is Jacksonville, right? I mean, after that performance on Monday night against Buffalo, or non-performance, not showing up, Jacksonville comes in as the worst team in the NFL this week. And when that fumble, man, on opening day has sent this team in a spiral, that's on coaching. Doug Peterson probably should get some boxes at the storage mart, because he's probably going to be out of a job. If they don't turn around, they paid the wrong quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. He's no good. And so Jacksonville, to me, is number 32, except for their owner's mustache. I like that. Coming in at number 31, Cincinnati Bengals, man. You're at 0-3 right now. You've lost to the Commodes, you lost to the Patriots, and you lost to the Chiefs here in Kansas City, and then blame the referees, and Joe Burrow's hair sucks. So number 31 is Cincinnati this week, just ahead of the New England Patriots, who did beat Cincinnati, but they're still a really, really bad team. They're already talking about firing the offensive coordinator. So New England comes in at number 30. Number 29 this week has to be your Tennessee Titans. They just find ways to lose. Their quarterback puts mayonnaise on everything. Will Levi's. Tickets are going for, what did you say this week down in Miami?
$20.
$20 you can get in to see an NFL game in Miami this weekend. Mm-hmm. Will Levi's against Sage Rosenfels. Nobody wants that. And coming in at number 28, the Miami Dolphins. You're on quarterback number 3 in week 4. It's done. It's done there in Miami. So my bottom five this week: Jacksonville, Cincinnati, New England, Tennessee, and the Miami Dolphins.
Love it.
Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
They're going to have a Tyler Huntley play this weekend. I saw yesterday.
Who?
Tyler Huntley.
He was the Ravens quarterback.
He was a Pro Bowl Tyler Huntley. You didn't use the disclaimer. That's why it threw me for a second. You did not say Pro Bowler Chet Huntley.
You're right.
Because he went to the Pro Bowl that year that nobody wanted to go. I think it was in Orlando.
Yeah.
Unless you have kids, you have no interest in Orlando.
I kind of think it's interesting. You do the max pack and then the bottom feeders out of teams that maybe you don't mention. Who's a team that you don't think is, like, that you don't believe? Do you believe in Pittsburgh, who's 3-0?
I do. Their defense is legit.
Believe in super? No. Okay. They could not hoist the Lombardi trophy this season.
Okay, Seattle 3-0?
No. I don't. I haven't seen enough of Seattle.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Because your five undefeated teams are the Bills, the Chiefs, The Vikings, Steelers, and Seahawks.
I think the Bills, the Chiefs, the Vikings all have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. I think Pittsburgh's going to be a playoff team. And again, yeah. Seattle being 3-0 and that division just basically being a disaster right now. Seattle may win that division.
They may.
I don't know. I haven't watched Seattle for a hot minute yet this year. They've been on like in times where I'm not paying attention to what's going on. So, and it's not necessarily a team that I'm looking for, quite honestly. But I mean, with the Rams having no players right now, the 49ers having no players right now, whatever's happening in Arizona, like Seattle's already running away with the West and it's week three, right?
Like, they're a fun story, right? New head coach, Mike McDonald. We love the Geno Smith resurgence or whatever. But, yeah, when we're talking about real competitors, contenders, I don't know.
But if they win the division, they're getting a home playoff game.
Monday Night Football this week at Detroit.
That's a good game.
Let's see. Let's watch them and let's assess.
See, now we'll all make our rash decision on Seattle based on if they lose to the Lions. Well, they were a fraud. Okay, the Lions, whatever. If they beat the Lions, oh my God, Seattle may be the best team in the NFC. We're all sleeping on Seattle right now, right? We're sleepless in Seattle.
I'll have what she's having.
Wrong movie, but good call.
What is that? You've got mail?
Harry Met Sally.
Same people, right?
It is. Yeah.
How does that work? You do two different movie plots but have the same two actors?
Yeah. Never heard of that before.
Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, right?
Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan was good looking back in the day.
You should see the movie In the Cut if you think Meg Ryan is hot.
Okay.
In the Cut.
Okay. Yeah. That's a very risque movie by one Meg Ryan. A lot of teams at 1-2 that I feel like are, you know, more believable or 2-1 as well. Because, I mean, Baltimore 1-2, I don't really look too much into that. I think that team will rise to the top at the end of the season. Cleveland, interesting. Atlanta 1-2, I think they're a better team than 1-2. And I think Washington at 2-1 is a better team than people are giving them credit for.
Yeah, we'll see if their quarterback continues to play like that. My God.
Yeah, I think he's okay. Somebody on the text line from 660. Vikings have a 0% chance of winking the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. Most people don't wink at the Super Bowl.
And then someone from the 620 says, cockroaches, stolen soap, and boogers on the wall. What prison do you guys record the show?
That's funny.
For those of you that forgot, our ongoing escapade with the boogers on the wall in the bathroom, they're gone.
Gone.
Somebody listens to this show, and they got paranoid. And they decided to say, you know what? I think I'm going to wipe these off so I don't get caught.
Yep.
And you know who it's going to be? Somebody's be like, yeah, did you guys a favor? Heard about you talking about it. And like, was it you? Because I'm not touching them unless they're mine.
No. As Denny would say, and gone, boogers.
Vikings have a 0% chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's winking.
Right. Winking.
Of winking the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Is Dusty Mr. Skin, hopefully.
Oh, God. Is that still around?
I don't know.
The Vikings have as good a shot as anybody in the NFC to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, they haven't done it before, but the Chiefs went 50 years without doing it, too. It doesn't mean you can't, right? Well,
the Vikings have a decent defense. They're tough as hell at home.
Yeah. Sam Darnold's playing out of his mind. KOC's coaching it, I mean, and Flores is bringing it. Like, I mean,
best receiver in the league.
Best receiver in the NFL and Justin Jefferson, and it's not even close. Like, how can you sit there and say they don't have a chance? Because I personally think they do. I mean, I don't know who I love in the NFC right now, and I'm always biased towards the Vikings. Their uniforms are fantastic. My dad was kind of a pseudo-Viking fan when I was a kid growing up. I've got a lot of friends that are Viking fans, so I've always kind of looked at the Vikings as, you know, hey, I'd root for them. I have no problem rooting for the Vikings. And if they come out of the NFC and it's the Chiefs and Vikings in the Super Bowl this year, that's a great Super Bowl, man. I think people would love that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I almost didn't put them in the max pack, but I had to.
But who in the NFC right now
exactly
can you really believe in, right?
It was like 49ers. I'm like, eh.
But you can't. Their best players in Germany.
Yeah.
Their quarterback's banged up. I mean, who's catching the ball right now for the 49ers? Like, I still think if you're putting the 49ers in that conversation as one of the best teams in the NFC, well, for all the information we know today, you got amnesia.
You blew a 10-point lead to the Rams without three offensive linemen, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. I mean, come on.
Right. Like, you lost that game to the Rams, and they're more banged up than you are, right? So, like, San Francisco's not a top team. Green Bay's had multiple quarterbacks already this year, so I'm not ready to crown them. I really like what the Vikings are doing, guys. Like, that's my Super Bowl pick out of the NFC right now.
I mean, they don't even have Jordan Addison yet.
Exactly.
Boy, where do they add that cat to the wide receiver core? Plus, Dalvin Cook's brother's, I think he's arrived.
Bino?
Yeah.
They've got, yeah, so that's, yeah, Vikings, Packers, then they'll play the Jets, then the Lions. There's good 3 weeks for the Vikings.
Yeah, it is. Tell me I'm wrong, though. If you think there's a better NFC team right now than the Minnesota Vikings.
I think Detroit. In my opinion.
Okay.
I think Detroit's the team to beat in the NFC.
Okay.
I still think it's Detroit and Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Mac?
I just, their offense, like the arrival of Jameson Williams, Amara St. Brown, still him. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, that duo has been crazy and a super big headache for fantasy owners with Jahmyr Gibbs. And Sam Laporta, you want to talk about Travis Kelce's production, Sam Laporta's in the same boat. Now, I know he got hurt last week,
yeah, okay.
But he hasn't been doing anything all year either.
No, he hasn't.
Neither has Mark Andrews.
Right.
Neither has George Kittle. So it ain't just Trav out there that's struggling tight end. Look,
they're taking the tight ends out. This is what this league does. Like, every year there's something that happens in this league, and at the end of the year we go, oh, my God, look what happened in the league this year, right? There's these, and I think Dusty brings up a great point. A lot of these tight ends aren't doing anything right now.
That's a good point.
Because the tight end position now in the NFL is a premier position, right?
Yeah.
And every team seemingly has somebody Travis Kelce-like on their squad, right? Right? Am I safe to say that?
Kyle Pitts, Laporta,
so
McBride.
What are defenses doing now? Mm-hmm. They're scheming against the tight ends because every team now has a tight end that can beat you. And so when every defense is scheming against tight ends, you got to look around the rest of the league, Todd McShay. Maybe start accusing the other tight ends around the league of partying too much in the offseason. Because it's the position right now. The league went, okay, offenses have shifted to this tight end. Offenses have shifted to making them the number one weapon. What do we have to do as a defense to shut down the tight end? And it seemingly feels like defenses are doing that now around the NFL, and maybe the wide receiver numbers will start to come back a little bit. But you mentioned all of those guys that aren't doing anything through 3 weeks. I don't want to call it a league problem. It's the trend now in the NFL. Defenses shut down the tight end.
It's tough, man. It's not just everybody. I mean, you can look at tight ends around the league. I mean, Trey McBride, he was supposed to have a big year. I know he's kind of like banged up. Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, Sam Laporta. Dalton Kincaid just finally had his breakout game. Evan Ingram's been hurt all year. George Kittle didn't play last week. David Njoku's out. Kyle Pitts is out. Jake Ferguson in Dallas hasn't lived up to the best. In fact, you know who the best tight end in the league is? It's a damn rookie named Brock Bowers.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's
the best tight end
in football right now.
Too bad he's in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Could be in Oakland. So this guy's name came up again in the news. It seems like a perfect fit. John Gruden has been linked to some conversations of getting the Florida job in collegiate football. Sounds like a perfect thing. I think he still lives in the state of Florida. I could be wrong.
Sure he does, yeah.
But he said recently that he wants to get back into coaching, whether it's collegiately or the professional NFL. I don't think he's going to get a job in the NFL. That's just me. But boy, Florida seems like a perfect school for John Gruden to go to.
It seems like it, right? I've seen Virginia Tech fans wanting him. I saw Dolphin and Eagle fans talking about wanting to hire John Gruden. But why do you want to hire John Gruden? Because you know the name?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could also get NIL deals. I think you get like some pizzazz. Like, I mean, I'm just hypothetically speaking here. Imagine if Leipold did leave. And John Gruden came to Kansas.
Whoa.
That stadium would be finished tomorrow.
Do you think it really would? Because John Gruden, first of all, he's got to overcome a very racist background, right?
Say what it is.
But he's not necessarily a winner. When the Raiders hired him, I told Kling, I said, this guy isn't going to make it to Las Vegas. I missed it by 5 games.
Yeah.
You know, 5 games into that first season in Vegas, he hit the bricks or whatever it was, right? But when you look at what he's done as a head coach, he's had 2-9-7 seasons, but hasn't been above 500 since 2005. Has 2 playoff appearances since 2003. But we hear a name and we all automatically assume he's going to be good. It's like back in the day when sports radio first started. Let's hire all former athletes because they're going to be the best on the air. They played the game and people. Doesn't work that way. You know John Gruden's name. You think maybe John Gruden's a head coach, but then you start going through his career. The guy didn't have all that great success. He was a very middling coach at best. And I don't know. He's never coached college.
In the pros, he might be able to, you know, dummy-o some things in college to make people successful.
Maybe, but we've never seen him in college, right? We don't know what he's going to be like in college.
Make it a little bit more interesting?
It makes it more intriguing, I would think. But also, I'm like, man, the guy hasn't done it before. And where college sports is right now, it takes a special dude or gal to be a college coach right now with all that stuff that you have to deal with. John John Gruden's going to have to deal with parents. He's going to have to deal with NIL. He's going to have to deal with boosters. It's not just, you know, drawing up X's and O's and coaching.
That sort of
Do you
thing.
Think so?
Yeah, I think he's a salesman. Okay. I think he just like.
Well, he is that. Yeah.
He could say, that's all in the past. We all make mistakes, man. You know, we all make, come on, man. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes, man. But check this thing out real quick. Your son could make this much money. Be like, okay, I forgot that he said racist comments about people's mouths and weights and all that sort
right.
of stuff.
But you're going to have to get over that, like, initial right. press conference and the initial reaction. And is John Gruden that guy that you want to deal with all of that for to hire? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Urban Meyer got, what, 2-3 chances?
Yeah, but Urban Meyer is also a national champion and did
and
it at the collegiate level.
At Florida.
And he did. Yeah. That is exactly right. And then we know what Urban Meyer is all about, kicking kickers and all that kind of stuff,
getting
right?
handsy at the bar with somebody that's not considered Mrs. Meyer.
Right.
I think John Gruden's also in that field of names that you just can't quit.
Yeah.
Bob, yours are, Torrey Hunter?
Torrey Hunter, one of my favorite baseball players. Somebody the other day goes, I'm sitting with Torrey Hunter, and I'm like, damn, I love that guy. Like, I always wanted him as a Royal. Like, just a great baseball player. Like, that's the guy you want on your team all the time. Torrey Hunter was that guy. And Tom Coughlin for me, too. If he wanted to coach tomorrow, I'd hire Tom Coughlin.
And then Mac, you're too?
I love Tom Coughlin. I would go Jason Terry. Jason the Jet Terry.
Mm.
Watched him play when he was 41 years old, still in Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm. That's their name, yeah.
Yeah, that is their name. And, loved him as a Boston Celtics. I go Jason the Jet.
Do you call it Mac-walkie after yourself?
That's exactly right.
Does Tiger still count?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
I love me some Tiger Woods. I just can't quit him. And then Pete Rose. I'm always looking for a Pete Rose audio clip somewhere. It comes up every, 3 years. I'm like, he's back.
I think he's, 90 now. I seriously do. I think he's approaching 90. Some guy called Ben Maller, his guy Dick and Dayton, called Ben Maller and said he wants Pete Rose to be the new manager of the Reds.
Mm. Well, speaking of the manager, Matt Cotrera will join us at 9 o'clock. Coming back up on the other side, we talk about what that Royals game meant to us, to you, and to everyone else last night against Washington. Oh, you can finally breathe. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, and Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and Dusty Likens on a Wednesday.
Wednesday. Hey, Mac, make sure your camera's on. I got a text from somebody who maybe is a secret admirer saying, where's Mac? Why isn't Mac on the camera?
No room
I said,
for
I
this.
Don't know. No, we got to be up there. You're part of the show, bro. Put the camera
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it, man.
Maybe he's camera shy. I didn't want to show those beautiful locks of hair.
Yeah, look at that hair. Have you got a haircut since you moved here?
I have not. No. Growing it back out.
Good for you. I tried to grow a mullet during COVID. It didn't go well.
You're growing your hair out?
Yeah, I used to have a lot of lettuce. Getting it back out, yeah.
Cut it when he got the job thinking it would help him.
Looks like it worked.
It did.
Yeah.
No, he was best by far. I mean, at the minute I interviewed Mac Dusty, I was like, dude, I'm hiring this guy. Like, seriously. Right away. There was sorry, whoever else applied. You were fighting a huge uphill battle. Ugh. And for you as well. I was telling somebody about it the other day.
That was easy.
I just want to say I'm proud of you, man.
Oh,
it's coming from the heart. Like this past weekend, I heard from so many people about you and how great you've been to this show and a great addition for me and all that kind of stuff. I go, there was nobody else. I did some interviews. I talked to other people. There was nobody else. It was you all along. And I quite frankly didn't want to talk to anybody else because I knew you were the right fit. And I just wanted to say that. Like I was thinking about it over the weekend and I'm like, I gotta tell Dusty I'm proud of him because so many people are saying how great it's been, and so I truly am, man. Like you've been awesome throughout all this, and Matt, like this was so easy to pick Mac, and it was clearly easy to pick you. It was the right decision. I'm glad I let Spectre make those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best threesome I've been a part of.
Really? Wow. I wish I could say the same. No, I'm kidding. No, it's been great. Like really it has.
It's been
like
amazing. Yeah.
I was telling somebody yesterday, like I feel younger now, you know, like it's been
you like Mondays now. I've noticed
a little bit better, it is progress is my middle name. Right. Mm-hmm. It's been like seriously, Mac was like a slam dunk. You were a slam dunk. So congratulations to both of you for slamming it home.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It's been a great few months, man.
Trying to grow, trying to be relatable, trying to have fun with this show as well as we just power along. And we've got a great baseball team. We got a great football team.
Woo.
Great might be, some people might roll their eyes when I say that about the Royals. But
are you still think people are like pushing back on the Royals even after last night. Like,
I saw a few,
they can clinch on Thursday, folks.
I saw a few texts this morning that were like, cool, they won. They're going to make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round.
So what if they do? They made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs. And that's, you know, that's the thing is like, you know, you do this.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Show long enough, you're not going to be able to please everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, because some people, when they were going through that seven-game skid that they just got out of, it was, you know, the glass half full perception, which was, hey, look, they got to the competitive baseball, or they played competitive baseball. They got us to week three of the NFL season, and we're caring about the baseball scene, about this baseball team. And then there's the other side of it that's like, I invested all this emotion this entire year just to not see this team make the playoffs. Look, you invested emotion. That's a win for this franchise that won 56 games last year.
Yeah, right.
And now they have a two-game lead on the Twins. They have tiebreaker over Detroit. They're in the second spot for the wild card, and they have a 2.5-game lead over Seattle. They win tonight, and the Twins lose. The magic number is 2.
And they get an opportunity to go into tomorrow with the opportunity to clinch a playoff spot. Right. I mean, so, who the hell wouldn't sign up for that?
Right. I mean, it's – and the good thing about it is that, like, a lot of people give it, you know, well, you know, you're ruined by the Chiefs' success in the playoffs. But
you're also ruined by the Royals' success in the playoffs.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that, like, a lot of people I heard in, you know, conversations that – this Royals team reminded them of, you know, 90s Chiefs teams where they had a competitive team. They were getting to the playoffs and then they'd lose in the playoffs.
I like that comparison.
And it's
though.
Like, well, this team hasn't lost in the playoffs yet. They haven't gotten to the playoffs yet. Let's wait till we get there, because if last year was the low point and this year is the ceiling, I don't think this is the ceiling, because I think what you said earlier in the conversation with the Royals is that they're going to see what they need this offseason. They have proven to you that they are all in. They signed Bobby Witt Jr. They went out and made, you know, free agency signings in the offseason that were awesome.
Uh-huh.
And they went in the trade deadline, and then to double down on all of that, when they lost Vinny Pasquantino, they went and got four guys or three guys to try to make up for that missed opportunity of Vinny Pasquantino. So if you don't think they're going to go in this offseason and try to find a bat for the middle of that order, or go try to find another arm or make a big trade or a big splash, you got to be wrong about that. But last night was a big splash. I know that it was one game and it's one win in their last eight games. But look, you won that game. You don't have to worry about anybody else. Detroit won, but you own tiebreaker. Minnesota lost, Seattle lost, and you have a massive, massive two games, which looks very minimal late earlier on in the season. But with five games left and a two-game lead and a 2.5-game lead and a tie for the second spot of the wild card, that win last night was the biggest win of the season.
That's the biggest win since the World Series in 2015. And that's not overstating or hyperbolic or anything like that. That's the flat-out truth. Now, there hasn't been a lot of big wins since the World Series win, obviously. But last night was one of those wins because it gave you that breathing room that we've been looking for, right? Like the Royals are very fortunate over this last week that they weren't knocked out of the playoff race, right? Like Minnesota and Seattle kind of holding their own and coming back. Like they've been a hot team, but like the Minnesota Twins right now, they had an opportunity with the Royals faltering to go out there and win some baseball games. And they won. I think they've only won three of their last 10 as well as the Royals have. They didn't take advantage of the Royals losing 7 in a row. And when teams don't take advantage of another team's miscues or misfortunes, that other team is going to kick that door down. And I think that's where we are right now with the Royals. They're ready to bust through this door. They're ready to kick it down. They're ready to open this thing wide up, and they're ready to clinch this thing, and they can do so as soon as tomorrow. And what has to happen is they need to win two and Minnesota needs to lose two. And when that happens, boom, the Royals are in the postseason. And that can happen, like I said, as soon as tomorrow. So Minnesota didn't take advantage of the Royals playing bad. And Minnesota's going to rue that day. They're going to be pissed. They're going to go, man, we had an opportunity with the Royals losing six straight at home and one to the Pirates. And we did nothing with that opportunity. And the Royals are like, we gave you the opportunity. We gave you the opportunity. We gave you the opportunity. You didn't take it. Finally, we're just going to take it ourselves and run away with this. It's like almost like asking your kids to do things 10 times in a row and they finally don't do it. And you guys are fine. I'll do it myself. And that's where the Royals are. They gave the Twins a wide open door. The Twins didn't capitalize and they're going to end up paying for it. And this team's going to the playoffs. And if they do get knocked out in the first round, so what? They made the postseason. And now you go into next season saying, okay, what do we need to do? And I think for my money, a bat is the number one thing that this organization needs to find, because scoring runs right now has not been easy.
Yeah, you heard Bobby Witt Jr. last night in the postgame, or if you didn't, he said, this is the one that gets it to turn around. You know, mm-hmm. We didn't get this far to like end it now. And, you know, a lot of people will say that when an offense is, you know, woeing and, you know, the offense isn't, you know, living up to the expectations, that, you know, it needs a six run inning and an offensive explosion and things. Maybe it was just one run, because yeah. I saw Joel Goldberg's post on X, and the thing that you could see is that there was a massive amount of weight taken off the shoulders. There was a ton of air getting out of the lungs of that Royals dugout.
No question.
That run and then seeing that win. You know, it can be one run, it can be six runs, whatever it is, it can turn it around. And, you know, the Royals going tonight, game two of this three-game series against Washington, where we both said here on the air the other day, I need four out of six to get to the comfortable level. You might just need three.
You may need to just go 3-3, but don't chance it, because you still want to maintain a better record than Detroit. Because if Detroit ends up finishing with a better record than you, then we got to go to Houston. I don't want to go to Houston. I'd rather go to Baltimore. They're not playing great baseball right now. I know they beat the Yankees last night and got their clinch and whatnot, made it into the playoffs. But listening to the Yankee broadcast before the Royals game started, mm-hmm. They were talking about you know, how bad Baltimore has been since I forget who went down for them. And it was almost like a carbon copy of what's going on here in Kansas City. Tough to score runs. But that's what happens in the postseason. That's why pitching is so important in the playoffs, because runs are a premium. Last night was a postseason game, whether you want to believe it or not. And I know the Nationals aren't going to the postseason, but that's the type of game you're going to play beginning next week. You have to find ways to win games 1-0 and 2-1. You're not going to need 11 runs, right? You score 11 runs in a postseason game, it's a blowout, it's a laugher, and we're all real happy about that. You have to find ways to win games 1-0, and the Royals did that last night, right, against an inferior opponent. I understand that, but they still found a way to win. And after that first inning, Dusty, it would have been very easy for the Royals to go, screw this, man, here we go again, and just cash it in. Because I think the fan, how many texts did you get and receive?
Oh,
and
tons.
I mean, after that first inning, right? It was like Meltdown Central in Kansas City. But the Royals didn't play Meltdown Central. They kept their heads up and they fought and they scrapped and they got a win. And go back and do yourself a favor and watch the handshake line from last night, if that's anywhere to be found. Mm-hmm. And just look at Q. He looks like a man who is relieved. Like, you could feel the tension being pulled away from Matty Q, and you could feel him go, oh, just watch his body language. That was a big-time win, man. That was a huge win for this club last night.
Tonight, Michael Lorenzen will make his return on the mound against DJ Hers.
Who?
DJ Hers, 4-8.
How do you spell that?
H-E-R-Z.
Hers.
Never heard of him.
Hers, I don't know. Royals are the favorite tonight in this matchup against the Nationals. They are -122 on the money line. The over-under is 8, so hopefully a lot of you smashed the under last night, because
yeah,
you would have been very happy with that.
What was the over-under tonight?
8. You want to put a little coin on that?
I don't know, man. Like, Lorenzen hasn't pitched in a while, so you don't know what to expect from him. And this Hers potato chip guy, I don't know who he is. So
DJ. Royals 76%.
DJ?
76% of the money right now is on the Royals to win tonight, so maybe everybody else believes that the one run is the one that sparks. You can't have a, you know? Can't start a fire without a spark, even if you're dancing in the dark. Coming up on the other side, we get into our NFC favorites, who could face the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.